Psalm 23. We'll read this very short but very rich psalm in its entirety. Let's hear the Lord's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy, inspired word. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Father in heaven, we have come to the point in the worship service where thy word is to be opened up, proclaimed, understood, believed, embraced, and followed. All of that requires grace. We ask for that grace now unashamedly, confessing that we have no strength in our own selves. All power comes from thee. Power to preach by the Spirit. Power to grasp, to make the pertinent personal application. All that's needed now, we pray that thou wilt give us freely, as thou hast promised through Christ thy Son. In his name we ask it. Amen and amen. I have no doubt that most of you are very well aware of the Holy Spirit's method of instructing God's people about life in God's kingdom under the metaphors and similes of sheep and their shepherd. It wasn't a coincidence that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel were predominantly sheep farmers. The pastoral setting for the children of Israel was arranged by divine providence. The Lord wanted something ready at hand, something that was so much a part of their daily life, to teach them many important lessons about their relationship to him. The first time this imagery is actually used in Scripture is found in Genesis 49, where dying Jacob, is blessing his 12 sons before he dies. He speaks of Joseph being made, I quote now, strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, parentheses, from thence is the shepherd of Israel. That's a messianic prophecy. Christ will come one day. He's called the shepherd of Israel, the first time it's actually used in Scripture. The first time the Lord's people are depicted under the simile of the sheep is found in Numbers 27, where Moses is about to die, and he asks the Lord to appoint a man over them to take his place, that, I quote now, "But the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd." The pastoral metaphors and similes become more frequent, of course, when you get into the poetical books, into the major prophets. Jeremiah, in particular, has many references to the shepherd and the sheep. That imagery, as you know, is carried on in the New Testament. Christ looked upon the multitudes as sheep having no shepherd. John chapter 10 is full of imagery as Christ likens salvation to entering to the door of the sheepfold, where he is the door, and those who enter it or saved are like sheep in the fold. Indeed, in that same chapter, he declares that he is the good shepherd. Most emphatically, I am the ego in me. I am the good shepherd. The Lord tells Peter that day by the seashore after his resurrection, they're breaking fast. That's the time when they're all sitting around the fire, and Peter, the Lord brings up Peter's denial of him in a roundabout way. Lovest thou me? And the Lord says, feed my sheep. Twice. Once he says, feed my lambs. Paul picks it up, that same theme in Hebrews 13, where he refers to Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter, in his first epistle, tells God's people that they were like sheep going astray, but are now returned under the shepherd and bishop of your souls, whom he later calls the chief shepherd. So, with that kind of strong emphasis in the Word of God on this comparison of to Christ as the shepherd and his people as sheep, it's obviously something that the sheep should pay a lot of attention to. Something they should study carefully and learn about whatever they can, why they're likened to sheep in Scripture, and who and what Christ is from being likened to shepherd. I don't imagine that there is any more well-known psalm out of all 150 than the psalm that's before us this morning. It's a psalm that many of us memorized many years ago, and one that has brought great comfort to our hearts and minds as we have prayed through it and as we have believed what it teaches. This morning, I only want to look at the very opening words of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In so many ways, verse 1 is a very apt summary of all that follows, because what follows in the rest of the psalm is how the Lord, as the shepherd of his sheep, lead them safely all the way through this life into the next life, into the house of the Lord, where they're going to dwell forever. That's all wrapped up in that 23rd psalm. The reason the psalmist can sing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, is because, and only because, the Lord is his shepherd. In many ways, what you have in verse 1 is a confession of faith from the lips of the Lord's people. This is what they confess to believe about their relationship to the Lord, and based on that belief, what they believe about themselves. It's what they believe about the Lord, the relationship they have with Him, and they confess what they believe about themselves. That's how I want us to look at this text this morning, understanding that this verse is about Christ, who makes it plain He is the good shepherd and His people are the sheep. My title is Christ's Flock, and it's Confession of Faith. Christ's Flock, and it's Confession of Faith. So, from verse 1, what do we find that the sheep of Christ's flock confess to believe? Number 1, they confess that there is a real likeness between themselves and sheep. Once you confess that the Lord is your shepherd, you are automatically confessing that you are a sheep. You are admitting and agreeing with the fact that there are similarities between you and sheep. And the Lord meant that to be so. That was the reason for the metaphor. What might those similarities be? Well, first, Christ's people confess. That's part of their confession of faith. They confess that, like sheep, they're very prone to wander away. You confess that if you're one of his sheep. You are prone to go astray. That's in the nature of sheep. If you put a sheep into a perfect environment where there is ample green pasture and plenty of still water because sheep don't like the moving water, afraid of falling, they like the still water to drink from. You could put them in a perfect environment, plenty of green grass, plenty of still water. Sooner or later, they will wander off and to their own hurt. It's in them. I thought it was amazing, I guess. I didn't know sheep were that prone to wander, but maybe 3 or 4 years ago in Turkey, there was a news article. 1,500 sheep went off a cliff into a ravine. Followed one of them, just grazed and grazed and started to wander off, went right over. They were able to spare 1,100 because the 400 that fell first became the cushion for the 1,100. There was plenty of green grass where they were. Plenty of water. But they wandered off. So you understand the imagery of Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. David said at the very end of Psalm 119, the very last verse, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. But I need to point out, in this same psalm, Psalm 119, way back in the beginning, in verse 10, he wrote, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander. It's the same word, astray. Let me not wander from thy commandments. And yet you have him here at the end of this psalm saying, I have wandered from your commandments like a lost sheep. In his commentary on the Psalms, Spurgeon remarked, the highest flights of human devotion must end in confession of sin. I have gone astray. We confess that. The sad thing is that unlike many other animals, sheep have no instinct that will lead them back home again. You've heard of dogs making their way from the West Coast back to the East Coast to the home where they were. There's an instinct in them, not in sheep. There is no such instinct. That's true of the Lord's people when they wander away from the Lord. They've got to be sought after. They've got to be found and brought back. To confess that the Lord is your shepherd is to confess that you are like sheep prone to wander away. Secondly, Christ's people confess that like sheep, they are defenseless. Sheep are not strong animals. Not like an ox, not like a lion or a bear, who have this strength to defend themselves if attacked. They have no sharp teeth or claws. And unlike a lot of other animals, they aren't able to quickly run away. You ever seen a sheep that hasn't been shorn? Its hair is long, particularly if it's a wet day. You ever watch them try to run fast? They can't. The only thing that they do, as far as defense goes, is they flock. They all band together, get as close as they can. I would almost said hoping, but that would give sheep human characteristics, but the idea being, well, the predator will take the outlying sheep. Those on the inside will be protected. Interestingly enough, a shepherd who uses his dog, a sheepdog, to steer the sheep away from danger when he knows they're going near danger, he'll send his dog out, and the sheep view the dog as a predator, and you know, they flock, and they start moving away from the predator. But that's it as far as defense. When you confess that you are one of the Lord's sheep, you inevitably confess that you are in yourself absolutely defenseless against the predators of Satan's kingdom, against the roaring lion who's looking to devour you. You don't have strength. You don't have the power, the ability to defend yourself. As the Lord's sheep, we are weak. Sheep are weak. Weak in grace, weak in faith. Our faith can be so easily shaken. We can walk out of church after hearing some encouraging gospel truth on air, so to speak, full of joy and confidence, and get home and have a little bit of upset or disturbing news, and we just fall apart. And the joy that we were relishing for a moment all of a sudden turns to anxiety and hopelessness. Does that speak of strength? Aren't we like that? Weak in wisdom. Weak in that joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Luther said, "For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." How often we found ourselves in that place of Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah when a vast army came against them to destroy them. "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do." We don't have power and we don't have wisdom. We don't know what to do. We certainly can't fight them and defeat them. Christ's people also confess that, like sheep, they're easily frightened. It doesn't take much to spook a flock of sheep. Even if a jackrabbit runs toward them, they've been known to stampede just from a jackrabbit. And as long as they're afraid, as long as a sheep are afraid, they're not going to lie down and rest. This was the thought behind Christ's words of comfort to his people when they were fearful about the future, fearful about not having enough clothing or food. Fear not, little flock. Sheep again. Fear not, little flock. He knew that beating behind all their efforts to lay up treasures on earth was a fear and anxiety about not having enough one day. Enough to eat. Enough to wear. So we got to labor, 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 labor. It was being driven by fear. The Lord's people are easily frightened. Not just about their financial state, about so many other things. Fears about our health. Afraid of sickness. Afraid of life-threatening sickness. Fears about our children, our grandchildren. How are they going to turn out? What are they going to be? Fears about our sins. Fears about eternity. Look again at verse 1 and notice that the Lord's people not only confess that there's a real likeness between them and sheep, that's part of the confession of faith, but secondly, they confess their assurance that Christ is their shepherd. Yep. They confess they're prone to wander. They confess that they're easily frightened. They confess that they have no defense in themselves. But they also, at the same time, if the Lord is my shepherd, we're sheep, but we have a shepherd. And it's the Lord. You know, it's one thing to say that the Lord is a shepherd, or even that the Lord is a good shepherd, but it's another thing altogether to say that the Lord is my shepherd. There's an assurance ringing in that text. How do you get there? How do you come to the place where you know that Christ is your shepherd? He's mine. He's not simply the shepherd of his sheep, but he's my shepherd. I'm one of his, and he is mine. Well, first, you know he is your shepherd because he found you and he brought you back from the fields of sin. That's first. All men have gone astray into sin. They've all gone their own way and not the way of God's commandments, not the way of God's will. That's what Isaiah was saying. All we like sheep have gone astray. But Christ said, he came to seek and to save the lost sheep. He's been seeking his lost sheep for thousands and thousands of years, and every time he finds one of them, he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders, and he brings it home into the fold, the sheepfold. That's what he does. So if you have been stopped in your tracks from pursuing a life without God, and a life full of sin and full of self, if you have been picked up out of the mire, because you see, sheep don't like to be in mire. They're clean animals. Pigs love the mire, not sheep. If you have been picked up out of the mire and have found yourself quite at home with Christ's people, because you remember I said sheep flock? They like to be with other sheep. If that's the case, then it's all because Christ has sought you out, he's found you, and he's become your shepherd. If you weren't his, he would have never sought you. You'd have never been found. David, you know, is a picture of Christ, the good shepherd. Remember what he said when he went out as a stripling to stand against Goliath? Saul was questioning whether or not he had the ability to deal with this giant. I mean, all of his army was scared to death of him. David says to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Now, O King, if you think I can't handle Goliath, I handled quite well a lion and a bear. Either one of them could have slain this giant. And I just plucked that sheep out of their mouth and slew them. I went after my sheep, and I delivered my sheep out of the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear. Do you not see Christ the good shepherd in those words of David? When Christ stops you on your mad course to hell and delivers you from Satan's grasp, you can rest assured that all that's happened because the Lord is your shepherd. That's what the shepherd does. He goes and rescues the sheep from destruction. If he's done that to you, he's your shepherd. This experience of Christ finding you as a wandering sheep lost on the fields of sin is not limited to that day when you were saved, converted, and born again. We've already heard David confess in Psalm 119, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." And that has been the sad confession of all of Christ's sheep. Not just once, but many, many times we've gone astray. We've gone our own way. We've wanted our own way. And we've shut out the shepherd's voice. It's never been a good experience. Never will be a good experience. Wandering into forbidden fields, wandering far away from God, wandering from the fold, wandering from the sheep. But if you belong to Christ, I can tell you one thing, you have found that he's gone after you. And he's brought you back. He has countless ways of doing that. But whatever way he chooses, whatever method he adopts, sometimes it's just the wooing words of love in the Word of God. Sometimes he brings tragedy into your life. Sometimes he breaks your leg. That's what the shepherd would do. But whatever it is, he brings you back to himself. He brings you back into the fold. Well, you're walking again with the sheep. And you're glad to be there. Because what looked like grazing, it looks good, it was loaded with danger. I'm going to enjoy this, and that sin just brought you hurt. And you're glad to get back to the Lord's green pastures and the Lord's still waters. I don't need to say really any more about that, because we've been spending the last two Lord's Day mornings on dealing with the same subject from the light of my people are bent on backsliding from me. It's the same thing. The sheep are prone to leave the shepherd. But, you know what the good news is? He always goes after his own sheep. He would be a faithless shepherd if he didn't do that. I'm going to talk in a moment about one of those indications that you're the sheep, but I wish it was always the case that I have this great confidence because I just listen to the shepherd's voice all the time. But I have to confess, I know he's my shepherd, because he's gone hunting me down when I've wandered from him. That tells me he's mine. You know he is your shepherd, secondly. This assurance we're talking about. You know he's your shepherd because you hear his voice and follow him. Sheep always recognize the voice of their shepherd. Another shepherd can dress in, and this has been done, can dress in the same clothes as the particular shepherd of a flock of sheep, and they won't even lift their head from grazing when he calls out to him because they know it's not the voice of their shepherd. Won't even lift their head. The moment, however, the shepherd calls out, they're all ears. They listen. And they come to him. That's exactly what Christ meant in John 10 when he said that the shepherd calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The context, of course, is the man who had born blind and was healed by Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees drill him. Who did this? Well, tell us. This was all, I want to just blow it out of the water. Listen, I don't know who he is, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see. So they excommunicated him. They cast him out. Christ meets him and says, I'm the one. And then John 10 comes. My sheep hear my voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. The next thing he says is this, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He was saying, those Pharisees, they call themselves shepherds, but they're the voice of strangers. My sheep will not listen to them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow the voice of the shepherd because they recognize the voice. They recognize, they discern, that's my shepherd speaking. There's no doubt that there's application that can and should be made to this spiritual instinct that enables Christ's people to distinguish between true and false teaching, between true and false shepherds. When they hear the truth, as it is in Scripture, as it is in Christ, they know it's right. My sheep hear my voice. Conversely, when they hear someone claiming to speak the truth, but it's actually a lie, they have this ability to discern that. They might not be able to pin it down exactly, but it doesn't ring true. That's because they're Christ's sheep, and he's their shepherd, and they recognize his voice. The bigger truth before us just now is that only Christ's sheep recognize his voice, and only Christ's sheep are led by that voice. So if you're being led by the Word of God, this is life in the kingdom. This is the picture. It's one of the reasons the Lord has so much analogy in the Word of God about the Christian life, taking the basis from sheep and shepherds. So if you're listening, if you're hearing the Word, you're listening to the Lord's Word, you're being led by the Word of God. If you're listening to the voice of the shepherd who says, come here, go there, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that, come over here, that's dangerous. That's because Christ is your shepherd. Because the sheep hear their shepherd's voice. You can't justly claim that he's your shepherd if you don't recognize his voice. You're not going to follow him. You can't have any assurance that he's your shepherd. But even in spite of their proneness to go astray, the true sheep are going to eventually listen to their shepherd's voice, and they're going to return, even when they go astray from the Lord and wander off into fields of sin. That's exactly what David was referring to down in verse 3 of this same psalm. He restoreth my soul. The word restoreth literally means he brings back my soul. It's the picture of a sheep that has gone off and has got to be brought back. He does. If that is your testimony, that the Lord's Word is your guide, that you endeavor to follow him, however haltingly you might follow him at times, then you can confess with assurance that Christ is your shepherd. A third element in this confession of faith of Christ's flock, they confess that they have certain privileges as Christ's sheep. They believe this about themselves. The psalmist is saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not be without. Because he's my shepherd, he cares for me. He loves me. That's their confession of faith. What are these privileges that they have because they're the Lord's sheep? He's their shepherd. Well, brothers and sisters, they're quite obvious, are they not, when you think of the shepherd? They have the privilege of Christ giving the shepherd's guidance. It's been said often that sheep are dumb and stupid. I don't really like that. They're not really stupid. They're far more intelligent than we think they are. So studies have proven. But one thing that's obvious that we as Christ's sheep lack is wisdom in ourselves. This is not about IQ. It's not about book learning. It's about wisdom. Sheep, depending on themselves, what are they going to do? As I said, they're going to wander off. They're brought to difficult situations through the valley of the shadow of death. Mounts on either side, the sun's not breaking in, it's a dark place. Sheep don't like it. And they would run helter-skelter if it wasn't for the shepherd guiding them. Oh, the Lord brings His sheep so many times into places and they do not know what to do. To teach them to wait for and expect the guiding voice of the shepherd. Follow me. Every time we've launched out on our own, it's spelled trouble for us. It's increased our heartache, our fear, our anxiety. It's when we've waited for the shepherd's voice, He's guided us. We have the privilege of the shepherd's guidance. No matter where we are in life, you have that privilege. You'll always be one of His sheep. You can depend on it. You can look for it. You can pray for it. The sheep have the privilege of the shepherd's protection. As there is a roaring lion, he wants to devour every one of us. There is a world that has powerful, powerful temptation. But our own worst enemy is within ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. And we need to be protected from ourselves, and the shepherd will do that. You're not going to be devoured by the enemy. It's not going to happen. Christ made it very plain. He will not lose one of His sheep. Not one of them will be lost. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them. And it's the context of sheep. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. They're safe. They're secure. You shouldn't be afraid that you're not going to make it. Because you have this good shepherd. You have the privilege of the shepherd's provision. Shepherd feeds the sheep. Christ said it. I feed them. They're not going to starve. Whether it's temporal needs that need to be met, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, whatever it is, the Lord says, I am the shepherd and I'll provide for my people. Now, little flock, if that's our confession of faith, that we have the promise of the shepherd's guidance, of the shepherd's protection, and of the shepherd's provision, we should be some pretty contented sheep. If we believe that. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms of our shepherd. What am I afraid of? Sheep are prone to be skittish and afraid. You know what it's all about? I want you to get this. That will be nothing more than points in Wagner's sermon. That's all they will be if we don't live in the presence of the shepherd. Oh, it all sounds so good. You see, the sheep are fine in the presence of the shepherd. That's our need. Just to dwell in His presence, to be at His side, staying close to the shepherd. Then they become more than just points in a sermon that are facts about shepherds who guard and guide and provide for their sheep. It's the reality that we need. It's the experience of that. This is the blessing. This is what calms the soul. One final thing in this confession. Christ's sheep confess that their shepherd has certain expectations of them. If He has promised to be their guide, then surely He expects His sheep to look for and follow His guidance. That's a reasonable expectation. If I am your guide, then I expect you to follow me. If He has promised to be our protector, the guardian of His sheep, then it's only reasonable He expects us to trust Him and not be afraid. And He tells us that so often in His Word. Fear not. Be not afraid. Be of good courage. Over and over and over again. And it's only right that He should expect that. Have I missed something? Is there something in logic that I have failed to see here? If He has promised to be our provider, then He expects us to entrust Him with our provisions and to be content with what He provides. I am your provider. I will see to it that you have just what you need. Okay, Lord. I'm not going to be anxious about it, because I confess to believe that you will provide for me, and I will be content with whatever that is. If He is all of this and so much more, then what Christ wants from us is simply our love, our confidence, our obedience. That's all. I care. I went after you. You were so far away in the mountains of sin and rebellion, but I went after you. I searched for you till I found you. I gave my life for you. All I want you to do is to love me. And trust me. And follow me. That's not asking too much, is it? I have a shepherd. And so do you. You shall not want. you shall not lack any good thing. Rest in that and rejoice in it. There's nothing like a scene of contented sheep feeding, lying down, resting, enjoying the presence of the shepherd. That's the picture painted for us this morning. Ours to enjoy. May God grant it for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Seek the Lord together. Lord, we thank Thee, Thou dost know us so well. We thank Thee for the encouragement we've had from Thy Word. Lord, we don't want this to become just another sermon about Christ the shepherd and His people the sheep, where it's another rehearsal of certain facts. We want, Lord, to enjoy the truth that's set before us in this one single verse. We lift up this little flock before Thee. We take to heart the words of the Savior, "Fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." Oh Lord, we pray that we'll make it more and more our business to wait for and listen for and expect to hear the shepherd's voice, looking more and more to follow Him wherever He leads, always knowing that wherever He leads is the place of safety. Fill us, Lord, with this confidence that Thou art our shepherd and will never lack. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.